It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, this is going to be a very different 5 o'clock hour than what we usually have. The 5 o'clock hour is usually me with some grandiose big picture take. I'm sure I will have one of those as the week progresses. But to me, today is a day of celebration. Yesterday, the Chiefs had one of the most exciting regular season wins that I can remember at Arrowhead. Let me put this into context for you guys. Teams miss so less than a 40-yard field goal this season. Teams are making them at a 97.2% clip. What we were talking about yesterday is basically the distance of an extra point. It was a 35-yard kick. Extra points are 33-yard kicks. The Chiefs blocked an extra point yesterday to win the football game and continue to stay in the land of the unbeaten. It has been, and I don't want to use the term improbable, but a pretty miraculous start to the season. They have had four or five of these incredible wins, whether it was week one against the Baltimore Ravens, whether it was last week in overtime against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yesterday against the Denver Broncos. They are off to a remarkable start, and in a lot of ways, they can end the one seed conversation with a win on Sunday against Buffalo. We have so much time to talk about that. Over the course of the day, we've been playing a little bit of audio here, a little bit of audio there. I want to play all of the post-game reaction for you guys so you can hear the Broncos' perspective on the way home. You know the Chiefs' perspective. They win these games all the time. The Broncos are a good team. I really believe that. I think the Chiefs are showing you not just what it's like to be a great team. That's what I think the Lions are. I think the Lions are a great team. That's not what the Chiefs are. They are an historic team. The same way that I've kind of taken the model that I'm no longer comparing Patrick Mahomes to all of these other quarterbacks. I'm not comparing him to Josh Allen or any of these other guys. At this point, the only people that you should be comparing Patrick Mahomes to are Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Terry Bradshaw. Like, we're talking, he's at that level, Joe Montana. So do not talk to me about Jalen Hurts and how he's performing or Dak Prescott or any of these other guys, because Mahomes is elevated to another point. I don't want to hear about the Lions and the start that they've gotten off to or Pittsburgh. We are talking about a 5 to 6 year run of absolute dominance in the National Football League. And it starts with dominance in the division and against teams like the Denver Broncos, where they leave with sadness like they experienced yesterday.
Will Lutz backs up, takes two steps to the side, says he's ready. An attempt of 35 yards for the win. Snap, placement, kick on the way. It is blocked. I don't even know what to say.
There's really nothing else to say. You lost. Go home. Why don't you go ahead and get the bus started? Go ahead and hit the showers early. You lost. So this is what we're going to do. Rob cut about, let's play a handful of these in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll make that the default hit number one. I do want you to hear Broncos sadness on your way home. All right, let's start with one of their most popular streamers on YouTube. You guys know how these guys are. They get on their stream, they watch the game, and they react in real time to it. Oh, they was mad yesterday. Let me tell you.
Lutz warming up on the sideline. Oh, my God. We're going to upset him. Assuming we can make this kick. Nothing is guaranteed. Please. Oh, God, please. Will Lutz, do not miss this kick. Will Lutz. Oh, I don't even know if I can watch it, guys. Come on, Will. 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 No! 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 Blocked it! They blocked the kick! Are you kidding me? Oh, what the f***? Oh, my God, no! Oh, give up. I give up on this sport. What the f***? A blocked 35-yard field goal. Oh, my God. I am done with football.
Oh, my God. I'm done with football. I get it. It would ruin me, too. All right, let's keep it moving here. This was the Locked On Broncos podcast. Listen to this hateration, holleration. Listen to this.
You got to play all 60 minutes, every second of those 60 minutes, right? So the Broncos, I mean, Cody, it just came down to that last total fluke there at the end, which, again, 95, 92, I can't remember. It's 90-something percent of the time. That turns into 3 points. Yeah.
This is why I think it's very unfair for you to say that it's a fluke play. The Chiefs are telling you they've done that before and that they ran the exact same play and we've seen it work. No, it was not a fluke play. They out-schemed you is what happened. They realized that I don't know if it's left tackle. I don't know what the term would be if, you know, it's on the field goal punt team. Whoever it was, he always on his back. That's not where he's supposed to be if you're trying to protect on a field goal. You shouldn't be laying down, taking naps in the middle of the play. They realized it. They loaded up on that side and they took advantage of you. That's what happened. That's scouting. That's coaching. You're weak here. So if we need to, we know where you're weak. We're going to exploit where you're weak. It wasn't just like one guy got by on a miraculous play. You've all seen the picture the way that I saw it. It was three or four of them in the backfield on that play. That is not a fluke. No, not at all. They knew. They knew where to attack you. They attacked you. They beat you. They knew. They didn't use that early in the game. No. They used it at the end. So I will not let them call this fluky. Another thing, too, before we keep playing it, and trust me, we got a lot here. I got sad tweets. I got Broncos tears. If you want on the whole drive home, I got nothing but Broncos tears for the next hour. If that's what you want, I don't want to hear a single Broncos fan tell me it was the officiating. I know that's the soundtrack of losers. Oh, it's the officials. What about this one call? What about, oh, they got Mahomes on the mic. He was talking to the ref. Bro, you scored 0 points in the second half of the game. You tell me what team in NFL history could beat the Chiefs and not score in the second half of the game. You didn't score one single point. Not a field goal, not a safety, not a touchdown, not a defensive touchdown, not a kick return, nothing. You thought 14 points was going to be enough to beat the Chiefs on the road? 14 points. That was going to be enough. And we can go through the plays if you really want to go through the plays. We can go through it. No, they just beat you. You had opportunities to put Kansas City down, and you made the analogy. You didn't double tap. The Chiefs, their first drive of the second half, they punted. It was a three and out, three plays, minus 6 yards. All right, the Broncos are up 14-10. They got the ball. It's early in the third quarter. I mean, the Chiefs got the ball at the beginning of the second half. They gave the ball back to the Broncos 13-18 in the second half. Are in the third quarter. They had the ball less than 2 minutes. Broncos went three and out, three plays, 2 yards. All right, Chiefs get a field goal. All right, hey, you kind of dodged a bullet there. You could be losing when you get the ball back. No, Rob, they're still winning. Broncos 14, Chiefs 13. It stayed that way for quite some time. Broncos get the ball back. You know what they do on that drive, Rob? They go 8 plays for 10 yards. They punted. So you're telling me in their first 11 plays in the second half, Rob, they got 12 yards in their first 11 plays. The defense locked in. All that stuff Cortland Sutton was doing was in the first half of the game, not the second half. Rob, they get the ball back again. 3 plays, -2 yards. I can count. They have run 14 plays. They have 9 yards. Don't talk to me about the officials, man. I don't want to hear about the officials. You had opportunities to win. You had a chance to win this football game. You didn't execute at any point in the second half of the game. You scored 0 points. I'm sorry you lose. Good day, sir. Take that the refs cheated us nonsense somewhere else. It does not live here. No, you had an opportunity. You squandered it like so many. You're not the first team that's going to leave Arrowhead heartbroken. There is a trail of much better teams than the Denver Broncos that have left Arrowhead with an L in hand. You were just the latest. Trust me, you will not be the last team to do it this month. Other teams will leave Arrowhead with the defeat. You were just the latest. You're not special. Oh, man, it's the officials. I mean, what about that illegal contact in the second quarter of the game? There were still 40 minutes left in the game. You're talking to me about one penalty that happened in the second on the second quarter of the game? I don't want to hear that nonsense. You lost. Accept it. Here they go. They can never accept. No team that loses to the Chiefs has ever just said, man, I don't know, man. They just got us. Not a single one. It's always the officials or the overtime rules. It's always something whenever you beat the Chiefs. Every time.
I think just plays like this alone, if the refs don't get involved, the Broncos win this game and don't have to even have that last second field goal. But the refs made so many terrible calls within this game. I don't know if the Chiefs are paying them. I don't know if Andy Reid has a little deal with it. I don't know what's going on, but it feels like there's some money being exchanged.
We did have the clip earlier hearing Patrick Mahomes tell the refs, hey, inform me when guys are getting closer. Hey, ref, when the guy get a little closer, just let me know. Just let me know he's right there, right? So, hey, it might be some money out there going around. Hey, refs, we're going to check the pay stubs.
I just want to know in what world could you get 52 yards of total offense in the second half and not score, and you're telling me that it's the officials? You get a field goal blocked, and you're telling me it's the officials? The hardest thing to do is to be honest with yourself, and no one ever wants to come to the conclusion that their team wasn't good enough. You had chances. You had numerous chances in the second half to create some distance between you and Kansas City. But you know what? You made the mistake that we have seen so many teams do over the course of the last 4 years or so. You had the Chiefs down, but you didn't knock them out. You are not beating the Chiefs on the scorecard. You are not beating them on points. You need to knock out the Kansas City Chiefs. And the last team that we've seen knock the Chiefs out, Tom Brady was still playing. That's the last team that we've seen do it. Every other team just kind of lets the Chiefs hang around and it's going to be close. And hey, you know, we're going to win this one score game. No, you're not. You know who's not winning a one score game against Patrick Mahomes? Bo Nix and Sean Payton. They are not winning a one score game against the Chiefs. You want to know how I know? I got 5 years of data that would suggest the Broncos are not winning that football game. We got more Broncos tears for you on your drive home.
I went back and forth because normally, you know, game ends like that, I would probably, you know, play the replay. I can't. Hurts too much. Too painful. I mean, that was a gut punch. I would ask Bronco fans, my first question of the day to you, can you recall a more gut punch, heartbreaking loss than that? How far back do you have to go?
That was brutal, man. It was just absolutely brutal.
This is the thing that they don't really want to say, that I'll say. It's not just the how they lost. It's not just the how. It's the who. It's the who they lost it to. And it is a team that if you are a Raiders fan or a Chargers fan or a Broncos fan, the Bills, the Ravens, any of these other teams in the AFC, you are obsessed with beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Every conversation that you have, it has to end with, can you beat the Chiefs? Because you know that's the end goal. That is the end boss in the AFC. He just reigns with his reign of terror over the rest of the AFC. That's what bothers them the most. It's not just the how and the fact that it was a blocked 35-yard field goal. It's the who. It is that they wake up every single day hoping to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And this is the first time they thought they had you. This is the first time they thought they got you. That zero in the loss column burns a hole in the soul of every other team. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to win every single week. It's supposed to be any given Sunday. And it is that way for every other team in the league. But one team is special. One team, they get all the calls, they win all the games, they date the prettiest girls, and it burns their spirit that this happens. And they wake up every day just thinking of how one day they can beat you and this coach is going to be the difference. And no, we spent this quarterback, or no, we spent this money in free agency. They wake up every day obsessed to be you. And these moments remind them that they're not close. Even when it feels like they're close, they're not close. The Chiefs are 9-0. The Broncos are 5-5. They're clinging on to hope that maybe they can be the 7 seed in the AFC while you're thinking about winning 3 straight Super Bowls. That's the difference. That's why this loss is a gut punch, and that's why they have no frame of reference. This isn't losing to the Saints. This isn't losing to the Eagles. This is the team that you wake up obsessed with beating every single day. You know how we make fun of Missouri fans or K-State fans that sometimes you take more joy in watching them lose and your own team win? This is the NFL version of it. Every day they wake up. And the number one thing that they want is for the Chiefs to lose. And every single week, they have to turn on First Take, and they have to turn on Nick's show, and they turn on all of these things and hear about how great the Chiefs are and how insignificant their team is. And it burns their soul to do this every single day.
Guys, right now, this stuff is fake, bro. I am telling you guys right now, this stuff is fake, bro. This never happens. Never happens. It's fake. It's the Chiefs. It's scripted. I believe it 100%. Not joking. This is scripted, bro. This don't happen. It don't.
No, it do. He just called the NFL WWE. He thinks it's wrestling now. That's what he thinks. He thinks it's wrestling. His team loses so much. He thinks it's wrestling. It's scripted. He thinks it's that fight on Friday between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. It's fixed. That's how bad the Chiefs have ruined the rest of the league over the last 4 or 5 years. They think it's fixed. It's sad. It's sad to go out that way. It really is.
Y'all about to see it here first. Chiefs finna lose.
The kid, let's go.
Oh my God. The NFL.
Kill me. Oh, not if I kill myself first. What's up, bro? What's up?
Here, bro. I'm out.
Don't do it.
It's not even worth it. I mean, honestly, we can't even keep your field goal, so.
It's not even worth it. No, it's not. All right, I got one more, and then we'll get back to very serious things. This is the last one that we'll play. Thank you for indulging me. In this 5 o'clock hour, as we have gone through Broncos tears and Broncos sadness and Broncos disappointment about them being losers. And they've been losers now for three years, a decade. They're embarrassing. 3 presidential cycles. They've been losers. Here's the last one.
The Chiefs, they're not lucky. They're just evil. There's a dark wind swirling at their back, and I shudder to think what they must have sold to acquire their black magic. Kansas City was desperate to snap that 377-day streak without beating the Broncos, and they conjured up all the power they had to win it at the end. And all that power was directed at poor Alex Forsythe, who ended up on his ass on the block kick, single-handedly becoming Moses himself and parting the Red Sea. The last red liquid to do this much damage was the Kool-Aid at Jonestown.
Can you think about all the holidays that have passed since the last time that the Chiefs have lost? Just really think about this. Their last loss was Christmas. Some of you already have Christmas things up already. Rob, in your home, you have Christmas things up. Think about all the holidays that have come and gone. And if you are the Broncos, every single one of these holidays, you have been obsessed with the Chiefs. New Year's, New Year's Eve, Martin Luther King Day, President's Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Independence Day, Juneteenth, Arbor Day. All of these days have come and gone. Black History Month, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. All of these things have passed. Chiefs still haven't lost. Your team still, in all of that time, your team still hasn't caught up to the Chiefs. I mean, you had free agency, you had training camp, you had the draft, you had the start of the, we're halfway through the start of the regular season, and every single week they beat you, you lose. You got to find a new hobby, man. You got to pick up a new sport, man. You got to find something else to do in your free time. This can be fun. This can be enjoyable. Sundays, they can't be fun. Every single week, this is what they do. They just beat you. And you just keep watching every single week. You think it's fixed, but you still just, you keep watching them. As they beat you, it's embarrassing. Rob, that was, thank you, man. I appreciate you going through the hard work today to get all of that so we could hear the tears of the Broncos. The best thing you got today was this, though.
Se viene el bateador Lutz de parte de los Broncos, el número 3. Se acomoda hacia adelante, la patada. ¡Eh! ¡Bloqueo! ¡El bloqueo, Jere! Se bloquea esta jugada. Y Kansas City, Kansas City se lleva la victoria del día de hoy. ¡Hay bloqueo! ¡Los Broncos la fallan! ¡Los Broncos no pueden hacerla! Y los Kansas City Chiefs se llevan la victoria cuando esperábamos un gol de campo. Kansas City y tapa este ovoide y se llevan la victoria por 2 puntos. Kansas City se mantiene invicto en la temporada 2024, Hannah.
I don't even know what that man was saying. I just know it wasn't good for the Broncos. I don't even know. I know it wasn't good. I know it wasn't good. I heard El Blaquillo. I knew it wasn't good. There's nothing good about that if you cheer for the Broncos. You're an embarrassment. There's really no other way to put it. You're an embarrassment. I do have something very serious to talk about with the Broncos. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. Rob, I have a couple of observations that we have not talked about today. There was a catch that DeAndre Hopkins made over the middle of the field, and I thought to myself as he came down with the ball, he's the only player on the team that would have caught this. You guys know the play that I'm talking about. He kind of went up to go get it over the middle of the field. He came down. You were kind of worried if he got hurt on that play. He got up, and I was thinking to myself, man, he might be the only guy on the team that can catch this. All right, a couple of other things, and we'll get to the AFC playoff picture here coming up in a bit. I don't understand how the Chiefs were so unprepared at left tackle. Now, I get it. You draft a player, and you're hopeful, you're optimistic. The Chiefs have kind of gone through most of the season telling us that Kingsley is a solution. So you spend the second round pick. There really is no form of competition at left tackle. And they gave the job to Kingsley. And then they realized pretty early on in the season, I mean like 80 minutes into the season, all right, we might have been wrong here. And they switched to Wanya Morris. Now I get it, you know, hey, he's a young guy. He hasn't had a lot of experience. I'm not coming down too hard on Kingsley. Well, he got another opportunity yesterday, and I don't think I'm out of turn in saying this. He is their worst starter. Now, I don't know what that means. Is Wanya coming back? Is he healthy? What does he look like? I'm telling you, we have watched enough Chiefs football to tell you he is their worst starter that they have. I'm surprised that they just weren't more prepared than that. Like, why was Donovan Smith not on this roster if something went wrong? Now, you can still go get Donovan Smith if you want to, right? Like, it's possible. Just go grab him, right? He's not playing for anybody. You don't got to do anything else. Just go get him. And I'm assuming that the salary cap hit's not going to be that big. Now, again, I don't know what Wanya Morris is, but I don't think I need to see too much more to know who should be starting for this team at left tackle. We have seen Kingsley Suamata-Ia now play for 2 games. We saw him in the first game. He got benched in the second game. He then came back in this game. He is not a starting caliber left tackle right now. And as you head into the second half of the season and you're trying to clinch that one seed and you're trying to determine, hey, who can we trust to go win another Super Bowl? I have not seen many reasons to trust him right now at left tackle. That is a weakness that they have. I also think at some point we got to talk a little bit more about this. Mahomes' accuracy is off. And I know that Matt Nagy's not responsible for anything because he doesn't call the plays. And if you don't call the plays, there's nothing else you can do as the offensive coordinator. He played quarterback in the NFL, and his quarterback is struggling with down-the-field accuracy. In fact, it is the worst since that person has taken over as the offensive coordinator. So I don't know how they do it. But it seems pretty clear to me that Patrick Mahomes and Xavier Worthy are not on the same page. And I don't know what needs to be done to get them on the same page, but Pat has a certain level of comfort that we have seen with so many different receivers at his time at quarterback. He does not have a sense right now of how to throw the ball to Xavier Worthy, and he has really, really regressed over the last 6 weeks. Since he had that big catch against the Los Angeles Chargers, he has not made a significant play in about 5 or 6 weeks. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about the AFC playoff picture that I think is really starting to come into focus. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. You know what? Let's go through the AFC playoff picture. And the reason I want to do this is because I actually think the Broncos are a decent team. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contending team. There is a difference between being a playoff contending team and a Super Bowl contending team. I don't think the Broncos are realistic in the Super Bowl conversation, but I mean, 7 of the 16 teams have to make the playoffs in the AFC, and I kind of think the Broncos are going to be one of them. So if you look at it right now, the 4 division leaders in the AFC are Kansas City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Houston. I think it's safe to say that those 4 teams are going to make the postseason. Pittsburgh is 7-2, and I know their schedule is tough down the stretch, but I don't know what the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers would let you think that they are just going to outright collapse in the second half of the season, especially when the bottom of the AFC is so weak. 9 probably gets you in, and we think that the Steelers are going to go, what, 2-7 down the rest of the way? I don't think that's very likely. So I think that Pittsburgh is making the postseason. So Kansas City for sure is making it. Buffalo's for sure making it. Pittsburgh and Houston. I don't love Houston. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contending team either, but their division is so weak that Houston's going to win that division. You also have to say that Baltimore is going to make the postseason. I think the Chargers are going to make the postseason. You guys can call me Chargers dot all you want. Did you know right now that no team in the AFC has given up fewer points than the Chargers? They have given up fewer points than Kansas City and Pittsburgh. Now, some of that is certainly schedule related, not arguing that with the Chargers, but if you've got a really good defense and you haven't allowed any team this season to score more than 21 points, I think you continue to beat teams. They got a game against Cincinnati coming up on Sunday Night Football. They play Baltimore next week on Monday Night Football. I think they go 1-1, maybe 2-0 in that stretch at home games. They got Denver coming up later. They got New England and they got Las Vegas. I think the Chargers are making the postseason. So I'm willing to say right now that there are 6 teams in the AFC that are making the postseason. So I think there are 3 teams fighting for one spot. And those teams are the Denver Broncos, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, you guys know how I feel about the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think the Bengals are that good of a team. I think they've been one of the more inconsistent teams, and I just don't trust them to be consistent. I also think that the Broncos have a better quarterback than the Indianapolis Colts do. I also think they have a better coach, and their roster's a little bit more complete. So if you were asking me today, I think we know who the 7 teams are who are going to make the postseason in the AFC. Now, the Colts might get back in it. The Bengals will certainly make you think they're a playoff team, but ultimately disappoint you. Outside of that, I just don't trust the bottom half of the AFC. The Jets are done. The Patriots are done. I don't believe in the Dolphins, regardless of what could happen today. And the other 4 teams, Browns, Titans, Raiders, and Jaguars, I'm not even going to waste your time talking about those teams being possible playoff teams. But I think the Broncos have shown themselves to be kind of competitive. I think the Broncos have the foundation of being a decent franchise. I do think that Sunday was sort of a look into the AFC West, and there has been some stability that has happened. Now, I don't think that those teams have necessarily closed the gap between them and the Chiefs and with where Kansas City is, but there has been a lot of change at coach over the course of the last couple of years. It feels like the Chargers have their coach and the Broncos have their coach. The Chargers, we know, have a pretty capable quarterback, and I think the Broncos have a decent one, too. Now, we'll see what the ceiling looks like for Bo Nix, but yesterday, I saw a young quarterback go into Arrowhead for his first experience. He was 22 of 30 for 215 yards. He threw two touchdowns and no interceptions, and we know that Bo Nix is mobile and can run around a little bit and can cause you some problems with his legs. The big problem for the Broncos yesterday is they just don't have enough firepower. Like earlier we were talking about, and everybody's talking about how great Cortland Sutton was yesterday. He had 70 yards from scrimmage. Like, I don't know why we're hyping up this Cortland Sutton like he had 105 yards and two touchdowns. Not the game that he had yesterday. Cortland Sutton had a decent day. He had six catches, 70 yards, and one touchdown. That's a fine day. Nobody is winning their fantasy league because of how Cortland Sutton performed. He didn't burn the Chiefs in any way. He had a fine day. They didn't really run the football super effectively against Kansas City. I think this was kind of your typical defensive performance. I think the Chiefs missed a couple of opportunities on offense. They missed the touchdown play, or at least a big play down the field to Xavier Worthy. They also had Travis Kelce open in the end zone, and Patrick Mahomes missed them. So you change a couple of the scenarios. The Chiefs score 30 points and kind of run away with this game, but that's just a margin of error in the NFL. And part of the reason how all these games are close at the end is the Chiefs usually do a couple of things to make the opponent feel like they have a chance. Robin, the Broncos just couldn't capitalize.
I agree with you. The Broncos are a playoff team. And as we're talking about this, I think part of the reason I think the Broncos are a playoff team is not just the way that they played yesterday and their defense being good and Bo Nix is progressing nicely. I think those things are factors. Man, the bottom half of the AFC stinks.
It's bad.
Like, the top half of the AFC, I think, is better than the top half of the NFC. Lions and Chiefs, sign me up for that Super Bowl. It'll be a lot of fun, that offense against that defense. But you're telling me the second-best team in the NFC goes head-to-head with the Bills? You're picking the NFC's finest? You're not taking, what is it, two seed, the Commanders right now? I mean, you're not taking the Commanders over the Bills. You're not taking any of those teams. So the bottom half of the AFC is soft. The Broncos seem into me, and the Chargers seem into me, and that's largely because the Colts are going the wrong direction. I mean, they got Pat McAfee, one of their most famous former players, on his show just talking about how they're a blanking disgrace of an organization. They had to announce they're starting Joe Flacco against the Jets. Yuck. Thank you for saving us, television networks, and that being on Sunday night. I think the Bengals are salty, but their schedule might have them fade away in the next 2 weeks. And the Chargers and Broncos, they can just exist and be 9-8. I think they're both playoff teams, which is more a testament to the fact playoff expansion is hurting the league because now this riffraff is getting into the playoffs. But if you ask me right now, hey, are the Broncos a playoff team? Yeah, I think they are because they look better than the Bengals and they look better than the Colts and they look eons better than the Jets, and that's the competition they have.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7965-CDOT. What's the Broncos record with teams or against teams with the winning record? You want to know who the Broncos are? The Broncos are the Royals. This is what happens when you expand the postseason. I think we all kind of knew the Royals had some pretty clear flaws, certainly in the second half of the season, but, I mean, somebody has to make the postseason. Now, the Royals made the postseason, they win the wild card, and then they lost to a team that went to the World Series. I mean, couldn't we see that same thing happening to the Broncos here? They sneak in, they get the 7th seed, they only make it because the playoffs were expanded. They then go on the road in the first playoff game against the Buffalo Bills, and Buffalo beats them by 14 points, or Buffalo runs them off the field because you've got a quarterback making his first postseason start on the road against a legitimate Super Bowl contending team. The purpose of this is not me to tell you that I think the Broncos are some heavyweight juggernaut kind of team. But again, there's 16 teams in the AFC, and 7 of them have to make it. I mean, I'm looking right now at the teams. There's not a lot of teams that are even over 500 right now in the AFC. I mean, right now, in the AFC, only 7 of the 16 teams are over 500 or 500 or better, because the Broncos are 5-5. Those are all the playoff teams. The Colts are 4-6. The Bengals are 4-6. And every other team in the AFC has fewer than 3 wins. So there are as many teams that have 3 or fewer wins and have a winning record or 500 or better right now in the AFC. The truth is, with the AFC, I think it's Kansas City, Buffalo. I guess you could put Pittsburgh and Baltimore in that conversation. And then there's a pretty big gap, I would say, between those first 4 teams and everybody else in the AFC. And if somebody has to make it, I think the Broncos have shown you, all right, that's not a bad team. They got a couple of rushing options. They got a good offensive line. They have a capable defense, and they're well coached. That's a team that I think could go 4-4 down the stretch, end up going 9-8 and making the postseason. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I can't say that I've had a lot of time around Tyreek Hill. I mean, a couple of times, but I ain't going to make it seem like we are close or anything. I ain't going to try to paint it like that, but he annoys me. Let me tell you what happened. So he was kind of 50-50 about starting today in the Monday Night Football game. And he announced that he's going to play. Well, Rob, he sat down and told Lisa Salters, so he has a wrist injury, Rob. Do you want to know where the wrist injury stems from?
I would guess the Bills game, but you wouldn't ask me if it's the Bills game. What, did he do something off the field?
He said that when he was placed in handcuffs earlier in the year, because you remember he got arrested on his way to the stadium, he is saying that that aggravated an injury, and he has been dealing with the injury all season. Now, I want to point out that in the game after the arrest, he scored a touchdown, his only touchdown of the season. Can you imagine if I told you guys that as we are getting closer to Thanksgiving, that MVS would have more touchdowns this season than Tyreek Hill? What you guys would have said? You would have told me that I was crazy, but no, that is what's happened. So Tyreek is saying that he has been battling an injury because of the situation where he got handcuffed earlier in the season. Now, obviously, I can't tell the man that happened or didn't happen. We did see that he was in handcuffs. I would just guess that if you were en route to go into the game and you've been dealing with some wrist injuries, I would do everything in my power to avoid being placed in handcuffs, is what I would have done in that situation. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've been pulled over before. And I've also been asked to get out of the car before. You know, I'm not trying to get arrested in this situation or be detained in any way. Tyreek, for whatever reason, I don't know. I mean, just it's always something. He can only say that because he's been struggling this year. If Tyreek was balling this year, we wouldn't have never heard about this. But now he's been playing terrible. He's a down year. We got to blame it on something. Oh, you guys remember week 1 when I got arrested? Oh, yeah, that's still bothering me. All right. All right, Tyreek, you got it, big dog. I'm picking the Rams today. I think the Rams are going to win.
Because of that, or do you have actual football reasons?
All of it. All of it. All of it. You know I don't like the Dolphins. I've told you now for weeks I think the Rams are going to win that division. It's actually a really competitive division. The Cardinals are a lot better. I cannot believe all my podcasts this week. Man, the sharp play is the Jets. Have y'all not been watching them? No way. No, I loaded up on the Cardinals. It didn't make any sense. They were giving. It was plus money. They were giving money away. They don't do that a lot. They were giving it away. No, I'm not picking the Dolphins today. I've taken the Rams at home -2.5. I'm mad I didn't get them earlier in the week when you could have got them at like -1, -2, but that's what I took. What side are you on for tonight's game?
I mean, I'm on the Rams side, but it's mostly, I mean, I could see a scenario where Miami wins. I mean, they look good against Buffalo last week. Their offense looked back to normal. They're healthy. So. They lost by three. The Rams lost last week, too.
That's all I need them to do is lose by three. That's fine. That's all I need them
to do. Did you have the Bills 2.5?
I don't even remember, actually, now. I don't even remember. And the Rams won last week. They beat Seattle.
Oh, that's right. 2 weeks ago they lost. I apologize.
Yeah, no, they won. The Rams are they're kind of cooking right now. The Rams have turned things around. So, yeah, no, I mean,
ever since they floated that Cooper Kupp story, they've been red hot.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm taking them today. Another Kyren Williams touchdown, too. That's where I'm at. So I just want you guys to, make smart choices. All right, Rob, you really quickly, before we hand things off to Chiefs Kingdom show, Travis Kelce is on the show. Shout out to Travis Kelce, who caught a touchdown yesterday. How was the game on Friday, man? Me, I'm sitting here working. I haven't missed a day all season. I don't get any credit for that. You guys give me all the grief in the world about missing some random July after a Royals game, but in football season, I'm locked in. No credit. I get no respect around here. No respect. How was the game on Friday?
Electric atmosphere. Top 10 matchup. Good game. Back and forth. Students on campus. Man, that was a good field house night.
Do you...
There aren't really bad field house nights, but that was a good one.
Are you missing any other games? Or are you just going to be locked in for the rest of the time?
I mean, physically, I'll be here tomorrow, but at 5:30, mentally, I'll be gone.
Okay. Just wanted to know. I was curious. All right. I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day. Chiefs Kingdom up next. Travis Kelce is on the show. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.